RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Junks are brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junks. If you're looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, if you're handy like that, go to CropMetcalf.com. You can join their team today. Joining us later will be Jason Lockenfora out of Baltimore.
Man, we haven't talked to him in a while.
It has been a while.
Good.
Since we've touched base with him. We'll talk about the latest with the Ravens and more with him. But joining us right now on the Rude Guest Hotline, Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. It's Spencer Carberry, Capitals head coach, brought to you by the Centers for Advanced Orthopedics. More physicians, more locations, more advanced care centered around one thing. You visit CFAOrtho.com. Coach Carbs, good morning. How are you?
Coach Carbs.
Very good. Good morning. Happy holidays, guys.
Yeah happy holidays to you as well. So we'll get to the Rangers game in just a bit. I wanted to lead off with the special teams. I wanted you to give a quick state of the union on the power play and the penalty kill. I know they're not where you want them to be at this point. The power play rank in the league is 29th, the PK 26th. Can you give us some encouraging words about the specials at this point?
Yeah, I think just with the slow start with both of our special teams, I think that really affects that number when you look at the whole season. I think it got better, both special teams, penalty kill and power play, in probably overall the month of, you know, end of November, early December. And then I feel like it's kind of taken a little bit of a step back from a production standpoint on the power play. It's been a little bit snake bitten. We haven't had a ton of opportunities, but haven't been able to find the back of the net. Since Leno got hurt, since we moved him to that first unit, which looked really good for a bunch of games. And then penalty kill's been doing a pretty solid job for the most part. A little bit of a hiccup the other night, but it's been better than early in the season.
You know, Coach Carbs, despite the loss Sunday in Detroit, your post-game quotes actually sounded pretty optimistic. You said, we played well, so I don't think you can take anything away from our group. We played a good hockey game, and we had lots of opportunities to score. They didn't fall our way. So, like, it sounds like your process is good. It just didn't quite get the goals and some of the scoring opportunities you were looking for.
Yeah, and that's sometimes I know it's frustrating when you don't get results. Our guys are more frustrated than anybody. But when I went back through the film and watched that game, that was one of the most enjoyable games to watch from our team and watch shift by shift, period by period of our group from the entire season. Mm. We We did so many good things from a structure standpoint, created good opportunities. Our the things that we want to do at a high level as a team, basically our team identity and what that looks like shift to shift, that was as good as it's been all year long. And we get a point for it, which is a little bit frustrating. But if you continue to do those things, we outchanced them. I think we had the chances around 30 for us, 14 for them. If you continue to do that, I promise you we'll win a lot of hockey games. So I know it's not the result, but we'll continue to try to replicate those things and finish on a few of those opportunities, and we'll end up on the right side of it.
So, Coach, part of your process and your approach there was breaking up Strom and Ovi, breaking up that line for that Sunday game in Motown. That's the most frequent top line connection and line since you've taken over the team. Ahead of that game, they'd played over 77% of time together on 5-on-5, Strom and Ovechkin. So I know when those guys have that sort of
homework. This is impressive.
Sure. I'm stealing from Russian Machine Never Breaks. So that's I give them the credit. They did the legwork. I'm plagiarizing from them. So credit to them. How do you approach that? How do you approach the guys and tell them? You're just like, hey, we're going to try something different. We're looking for better results here. How does that go, like telling Strom and Ovi that they're not going to be playing together anymore, at least for the time being?
Yeah, they've been such a consistent line for us in my time here over the last 3 years, and have done a tremendous job for our team and produced offensively, played in key situations, just go down the list. Now, when you go through seasons and through an 82-game schedule, like sometimes the chemistry, the puck luck, whatever you want, it just goes dry for a bit. And I think that's kind of what's happened with Stromer and O over the last, let's call it 10, 12 games. So you work through it, you work through it, you work through it, you show some film, you talk to them, and then at some point, you know, you just give a different look just to change things up. Are they probably going to go back to playing together at some point during the season? You could bet dollars to donuts that that will happen. But it just gives you a different look. Sometimes changing the look and of your different lines and your forward combinations can just kind of provide a spark. And I thought it did the other night. Stromer played really well. O was good with Sordiff. So I like the look of those lines.
So, Coach, this is game number 37, I believe, tonight.
Yep.
Considering what's happened in the last, you know, 6 or 7 games, you know, not having the puck luck, but you still felt like you played really well at Detroit. How big is this Ranger game tonight, considering you got the holidays, you got a 3 or 4 day break? This is a big one, right? To kind of stop the bleeding?
No doubt. And I think we've hit a rough patch, hit a little bit of adversity, some injury stuff. We're from a confidence, from a finishing standpoint, from a just a little adversity, okay? Mm-hmm. And what you see in some of our games, like Toronto game, excellent. Okay, take a step back the following game at home against Detroit. Then take a step forward in my eyes on Sunday, even though we lose in overtime. So it's just about consistency with our group right now. Is as you go through this, we need to be as consistent as we possibly can game to game, and we can't have any of these, we can't afford to be one game on, one game off, one game on, one game off. We've got to get this thing cranking as, you know, we're starting to get into halfway through the season and things are tight. So we've just got to be a little bit more consistent with our game night tonight.
Coach Carbs, with those back-to-back games against the Red Wings, did you frame it as almost a mini in-season playoff preview with the compressed game schedule, or were you just trying to get out of those games with some points with the back-to-back Saturday and Sunday? Weird scheduling there.
Yeah, it was weird. We just talked about it as a 6-period game against Detroit, and so we were just focused on that first one. The odd start wasn't in love with our start on Saturday. And we get down in that game. We fought back and make it tight and get our goalie out to give ourselves a chance. And then the following game, the 1 o'clock game in Detroit, I thought our start was really solid. So it was, we look at it as sort of a mini series, made some adjustments going game to game, especially when you see the same team in less than 24 hours. You can make some adjustments to see what they're doing. It's the first time we've seen him this year as well.
By the way, Ryan Leonard, I love because he's a Washington Capital. His brother, John, who plays for the Detroit Red Wings, I don't like him so much when he's scoring in back-to-back games against the Caps.
I've seen enough of him.
Yeah, enough of that. That's the wrong Leno doing work, right?
Leno better be careful. I'm going to make him talk to his brother and say, hey, if this goes on, you're going to lose some shifts, Leno.
So, Coach, talk to me about the Rangers. I know they're below you guys in the standings. They've got 40 points, though. So, I mean, there's only 7 points separating the top one, two, three, six teams in the Metro. So it's very tight. But talk to me about the Rangers.
Yeah, so we know them really well. Strength in goaltending with Shesterkin and Jonathan Quick, and then the usual suspects up front with Panarin and Zibanejad and JT Miller and Lafreniere, Trocheck, those guys. So we've seen these guys enough. We saw them early in the season in their building. Wasn't our best, but Chucky Lindgren, I believe, played in that game and was phenomenal. So we got out of there with 2 points. But really, we know them well. It's really going to be focused on what we're doing tonight and making sure that we're getting to our standard. And we sort of back up what we did or the things that we did on Sunday in Detroit.
Yeah, Coach, you just touched on Chucky there. He's been lights out against the Rangers in his career. 4-1, 2 shutouts, 1.19 goals against in 5 career meetings. Like, even if you're pretty sure that LT's going to get the nod, and I don't know, I can't get in your head on that, do those past numbers against an opponent come into play when you're making a goalie decision?
Sometimes. I will say sometimes. The only really time where that will, when we're making those decisions, is when it's really when we're sort of split or when we're going back and forth. Some of them are just clear cut of like, this guy's starting then, this guy's starting then, a back-to-back, this guy. And then when there's, you know, a debate on which way we should go, then we look into some of those split numbers, opponents, day games, night games, all that stuff to see, you know, gather as much information as we can and then make the best decision possible.
Mm-hmm. Coach, let me ask you a non-Caps question here. So, big trade went down a few days ago in the NHL. It's the Wild trade for Quinn Hughes.
Talk to me about Quinn Hughes.
Before that happened, do you have a quick sit-down with GM Chris Patrick at any point to see if the Caps are one of the teams in the hunt to land a top young player like that? Or do you just, you trust him implicitly? I'm sure you guys work hand in hand, but do you want to just like bend his ear a little bit, like, hey, I'm hearing whispers that Quinn Hughes is out there. So how does that go? Give me that back and forth, if any.
Our management team, pro scouting, Chris and Mac do a phenomenal job. And so in season, I'm just focused on the coaching part of it. And if they have any questions for me or anything, we talk every day. So, I'm focused on our group and our team and those guys focus on all of that stuff.
When is the trade deadline in hockey?
I think it's usually
the trade deadline is March 6th.
Oh, okay. Gee, we've got plenty of time. I want to ask you another thing, not Caps related. I only pay attention to what you guys do. I'm not in any hockey fantasy leagues or anything like that, so I don't know what the rest of the league's doing. But I was just looking at the standings, Coach. The Colorado Avalanche only have 2 regulation time losses.
Yeah,
that's absurd.
I know.
What the hell are they doing? What, do they have just an all-star team? They're 26-2-7. I mean, that's outrageous.
Jared Bednar has those fellows playing at a very high level, and we haven't seen them yet this year. So it's their they've been good for a number of years, dating back to, they won the cup. I think it was maybe 4 years ago or something close to that, and have been good. I mean, they have, if you've heard of Nathan MacKinnon and Cale McCarr.
Of course.
I have heard of that MacKinnon dude, yep.
Yeah, they're two pretty, pretty special players, but their whole team, they're in win now mode and having a good season.
So Coach Carbs, last game before the Christmas mini break, have you gotten Mrs. Carbs a Christmas gift, or are you a last minute shopper?
Probably multiple.
And a follow-up question, are you going to watch the NFL games on Christmas or the NBA games or are you just going to watch more hockey film?
All right. Or Christmas movies?
Yes to all of the above, except for the hockey part. That's where this is dad family time for 3 days and get away from this rink and do not come to the office. And it's just us this year. We're just spending time as a family. Normally, for the last, call it, I don't know, 10, 12 years since I've been coaching, we've had family comes in, because obviously it's hard for us to travel with only getting 3 days off. So we have family coming in. This is the first year it's just us. So we've got some activities planned. I'm going to take the kids on a few excursions and horseback riding and a few different things. But I will be tuning into the NFL NBA games. And I do have my gifts knocked out.
Excellent. All right.
Good
job. As always, well prepared, Coach Carbs. Best of luck tonight against
the Rangers, and
let's grab those 2 points before Christmas.
Hey, and I saw some of the footage from your guys' broadcast the other day where you guys were having a good time. That was awesome stuff.
Oh yeah, we were getting after it nice and early.
Cakes paid his price the next day. He wasn't feeling great.
Yeah, sometimes you got to sacrifice, Coach. That's the way it works. You know how it is.
Awesome stuff.
Thanks, man. Thanks, Coach. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Happy holidays, guys.
Happy holidays. Too. Merry Christmas. That's Spencer Carberry, Washington Capitals head coach, presented by the Centers for Advanced Orthopedics. More physicians, more locations, more advanced care centered around one thing. You visit CFAOrtho.com. When we come back, we'll get into an NFL legend who still thinks he could play at the age of 64. We'll get into that next here on The Fan.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Joe Beninati has been the voice of the Caps for a long time now. He's one of the best voices of any local sports team anywhere. One of my all-time favorites, and he joins us here as we all get ready for the holidays. And I was doing the math on this before the show, but essentially when a lot of people come back from the next week and a half, 2 weeks, The NHL season will be half over. The Caps have played 36, five more to 41, and they're fifth in that 36 to 41 is on New Year's Day. So we're close enough. What are they? What are the Caps in 2025-2026?
Kev, I think they're really competitive. I see them at some nights, you know, pushing to be as they were a season ago, a Metro Division regular season champ and a team that was going away, running away with the East. At other times, I see some deficiencies, especially at the offensive end, which bring everybody into the mix. So as of right now, where they are, tied for second, I want to say, in the division with Philadelphia, and hats off to Rick Tocchet with what he's done there. You asked at the beginning of the season where they would fall. I thought they would be in that top three in the division mix with the likes of Carolina and Jersey. Carolina is where I expected them to be. Jersey is coming back into form as they get healthier. And as the Caps get healthier, I expect Washington, Jersey, and Carolina to fight it out in the Metro. I really do.
So Max and I were talking before the show, and Max is a big hockey guy, and he said, a Caps guy, he said that Spencer Carberry publicly kind of pitched for, because of their lack of success in shootouts, I think they're 0 for 4 or 0 for 5 or something like that, that he actually talked about pulling the goaltender in overtime for an extra attacker. That's not for real, right?
Late in the regular season, when you're fighting for every playoff point in the standings, you will see that from time to time, Kevin. That does happen. But for a coach to do it in like December, January, or February, that would be kind of novel. But the Caps have lost the last five games. The Caps have gone beyond 60 minutes. They've lost, whether it be in OT or in a shootout. And I could see where Spencer would be frustrated a little bit. But again, late in the season, you know, the game 80, game 79, you might see that. Before the halfway mark, I doubt that severely.
How good's Logan Thompson been?
Awesome. MVP worthy. And he was just that a season ago, all the way through, you know, the turn of the new year a season ago. I felt the very same about his game, and he's made some refinements, Kevin, to his game that have made him, I think, even more formidable. There are nights, just like everybody has, and this is the kind of season. First of all, the fact that you're counting up to 41 already blows me away. It just feels like we just started
by
this season, and that's because of the compacted schedule to let everybody go for 3 weeks in the February for the Olympics. But the games just add up and add up and add up, and things are going to be cyclical. Right now, the Caps' offense is, you know, in a it's off boil. A month ago, they were boiling. Logan is consistent. And aside from a few blips on the radar, he's been, in my opinion, MVP worthy, right there with the likes of Tom Wilson and Jacob Chychrun this season.
So I guess they have struggled to score a little bit at times, especially without Pierre-Luc Dubois and Ryan Leonard out there. There's conversation about maybe being on the in the market for a scorer, a high-volume scorer. What do you make of that? Do they need it?
They need something in that top six, and they know that, and Chris Patrick is working the phones. But, you know, look, Kev, look at the Eastern Conference. Nobody's out of it. Nobody's really selling. And it's going to be hard to make those kinds of deals when people, I think a lot of people are in the same boat. They'd like to add that type of personnel, but there's only two or three teams that might be in a selling position. So that means the asking price is going to go through the roof. And I don't think Washington wants to greatly mortgage its future. And I think the future is going to be very, very bright for the Caps with regard to how well they've drafted the last two or three seasons in particular. Like, when you look at what's possibly coming through the pipeline, there's a lot to smile about, but that doesn't help you now. We're in the here and now, and Ryan Leonard's return, I think, is imminent. There's some question as to whether or not it may even be tonight. I don't think he's been cleared, though, to play for tonight, but maybe that happens in the next couple of hours. If not, fingers crossed, he'll be ready by the time they return from the holiday break. Dubois is going to be a little bit longer, but not as bad as from what I first gathered. I'm again, knocking on wood and saying this, that this is not something that's going to linger well into March, April playoffs, which I originally thought it might. So knock on wood that he's faster than that. But yes, they are looking, and I would say they're looking down the middle in the center spot.
Caps and Rangers tonight on 106.7 The Fan, 7:30 puck drop. You know, you mentioned just the East. I mean, they're basically like 11 points, the difference between the worst team and the best team in the Eastern Conference, not just the Metropolitan Division. How do you view it? Is it just totally balanced? Is it a crapshoot? Or, you know, is it Florida with their injuries and they'll emerge as the best team towards the end, Tampa playing better right now, et cetera?
For what's gone on in the first, quote, half of the season, Kev, the Eastern Conference has been deeper and better than the West. And you can make the case that the best teams are in the West, the absolute very best, the Colorado Avalanche and the Dallas Star type teams. But other than that, the East has been making hay against the West. And that's why all those Eastern teams are still in the mix. And then you think about a team like the New York Rangers, who the Caps play tonight, and how strikingly different their record is come road and home. You know, normally it's the home ice advantage. You look at the Rangers. The Rangers have 18 wins. 13 of them are on the road. They're allergic to their own building for some reason, and they find it incredibly hard just to even get on the board and score a goal at Madison Square Garden. But on the road, where they are tonight, they've been a very difficult out. And so many of the teams in the East have been good. I think it's going to flatten out. I still do think the cream rises. And, yes, with all due respect to Philadelphia and the Islanders in particular, I think, who are higher in the Metro standings than you might have guessed at this point, I still think it's Washington, Jersey, Carolina in the Metro. I just do.
Yeah. How does that compare? I know Carolina does for sure, to what's going on in the Atlantic, with Detroit having the great start to the season, Tampa obviously always there, and Florida a lot better here over the last 10 games. I'm assuming they've gotten healthier. You can tell me that, but
NHL fans know that the Atlantic Division often features 3 to 4 heavyweights. And Tampa Bay is always going to be in that discussion, Kevin, because they still have 3 or 4 of the very best players on the planet in their lineup. And as long as they do, they're going to be tough to beat. Florida, obviously, as a 2-time defending Stanley Cup champion, knows all about staying in contention until it gets time to get hot. And they're going to get healthier with Tkachuk, and they might even get healthier with Barkov, but that's an ACL. I don't know how much Barkov's going to be able to give them, but even without him, they're still dominant. They're still heavy. They're so experienced. And then, you know, the Caps got an eye full up close and personal of a Detroit team that's been on the rise for a couple of seasons, that now has a little bit more added strength and goal with John Gibson, who we saw beat Washington in Washington back over the weekend. You know, those younger players now have a few more games of experience under their belt. Todd McClellan's a very good coach who knows how to go to the whip, who knows how to ride a challenging horse down the stretch. You know, there's a lot to like in that Atlantic. And it's amazing how we started the season talking about Montreal, and then Montreal fades, Montreal rises. It's just been an ebb and flow for so many teams, regardless of division this season.
Any concern about Ovechkin's 8-game goalless stretch here or not?
It's interesting, Kev. When I watched, like, I thought he moved really, really well on Sunday, and not nearly as well on Saturday in the first go-around with the Red Wings. And I know he hasn't scored in the last 8 games, and he's the powder keg who, once he gets one, he'll get on a little streak the other way. With me, and with regard to watching Alex, it's all about motion and movement, and especially at this age when, he's got a half a season under his belt right now, and those bumps and bruises that he used to shake off with ease at age 20, 25, 35, 38, he's got them now, and maybe they hamper him a bit longer. And then all of a sudden, he has a game where, you know, he's skating well. When he skates well, when he's able to keep into the rush and be part of the formations, he looks like, again, a very, very dangerous player. There are some days where he just doesn't have his skating legs, and now we can see that a whole lot more clearly. But, are you worried when he doesn't turn on the light in 8 games? Absolutely. As long as he's getting his opportunities, and we saw that, especially in a recent home game where he was just blasting away, and that's what I love to see. It was the game against Toronto. And especially on the power play, Kevin, Toronto chose to defend a certain way, and all of a sudden you're leaving the greatest goal scorer of all time, the guy with the most power play goals of all. You're letting him sit in his office and crank things up. And that was good to see. His timing was good. I know Alex is going to bounce back. And as long as he's creating, picking up assists, I mean, you do a two dozen game dive on him, and he's still a point per game guy. 24 points in the last 24 games. I'm not going to complain.
We're talking, of course, to Joe Beninati. Nobody's been doing play-by-play longer than Joe in this market. Joe was an outstanding lacrosse player, lacrosse goalie at Bowdoin in Maine during his college years. Still holds the school record for saves in a season by a Bowdoin lacrosse goaltender with 263 during his college lacrosse days. You know, you grew up in New York, and I don't know if I've ever asked you this, as we shift away from the Caps for a moment to talk about you for just a quick moment. Who did you grow up sort of idolizing in terms of play-by-play? So many people in New York, it's always Marv for the most part. Was that you, or was it somebody else?
Well, it's Marv.
It is Marv.
It's Marv. And when I had the chance in the American Hockey League, Kenny Albert and I came through the American Hockey League pretty much the same time together. When Kenny was in Baltimore, I was either in Portland, Maine, or in Providence, Rhode Island. And I got to meet Kenny, and I know him extremely well, and he and his family are just wonderful. But it was an honor, and I was in awe when I would occasionally meet with Kenny and his dad was there. And the first chance I ever had to actually do a live interview or a pre-recorded interview with Marv on the show that I was working with, I'm over the moon, because this is the guy that, you know, my dad was kind enough to leave my bedroom door open enough so that I could hear the Albert call of the game.
Yeah.
And when there's a goal, I'd sneak out, watch the replay, and run back into bed before Mom knew that I was awake. No, it was Marv all the way.
Was it? But it was more Marv doing hockey than basketball, I'm assuming.
Both, Kev. My dad was a New York City firefighter. He was more of a Ranger and Knicks fan than an Islanders fan. And so I gravitated to that side. And whenever my dad was watching sports, regardless, and my father was a terrific baseball player, especially. So I fondly remember listening and watching tons of Rangers and Knicks and Mets. My dad was a Brooklyn Dodgers fan. And when the Dodgers left, my dad disavowed the New York teams and became a Boston Red Sox fan.
What?
I wish I could still have these conversations with my father nowadays and go, really? What went into that?
Yeah, well, for that generation, losing, you know, the Dodgers and the Giants, by the way, to the West Coast migration, just had to be so traumatic. You know, I've talked to Tommy about it, Lavero, who grew up in Brooklyn, about it before. I mean, that is truly the way that those teams had woven themselves into the fabric of New York City, Brooklyn in particular, with the Dodgers, obviously. I mean, that had to be just one of the most traumatic, devastating things ever.
It was, but then he didn't. Most of my New York family members, Kevin, are Yankee fans.
Yeah.
But my dad would not go there. And he really didn't go there with the Mets. And it's funny because I said he's a New York City firefighter. His house was literally three blocks from Shea Stadium. So he could have easily picked up the Mets as a favorite.
Yeah.
But no, he went to Boston and he became a Red Sox fan.
I wanted to ask you something because I just pulled up a list of the greatest New York play-by-play voices of all time. And there's been polls, you know, over the years. And there's a name here that's very familiar to me, and I'm wondering if he's familiar to you. Jim Karvelas.
Yeah, I remember the name.
Okay.
I cannot specifically remember his style.
That's fine. That's
but
fine.
I do remember the name.
He did Knicks games on TV, but did Washington Bullets games in the 70s on TV, and he had a signature call anytime a bucket was made. You know, Elvin Hayes, bullseye. Phil Chenier, bullseye.
Yeah.
And that became his go-to call. And, I just was looking at this list and I forgot that Carvelis was in New York as well.
Great name, great history. And I like Bullseye for empty net goals. If you'll notice, I use that one for empty netters.
Yeah. Man, the list of New York broadcasters, though, right? I mean, just forever, that list. Thanks for doing this. Merry Christmas to you. Happy holidays. We'll talk soon.
Same, Kev. Thanks. I appreciate the time.
Yep. Joe Beninati, everybody, at Joe BPXP on X on Twitter. Caps tonight hosting the Rangers. 7:30 puck drop for those of you who want to listen on 106.7. The Fan. 7 o'clock puck drop. Excuse me. 7 o'clock puck drop. Not quite, with it in terms of my puck drop times for the Caps. We'll do better next time. Max and I will finish up with a few odds and ends and maybe some NFL power rankings for the week next.
The Washington Wizards head coach, Brian Keefe.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. One of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
Coach Keefe, happy holidays. Merry Christmas. How are you?
Happy holidays, you guys.
So we're good. Last night the loss to the Charlotte Hornets, 126-109. Can you give us a quick update on Bub, who left yesterday? He's been heating up offensively. What do you think has led to him with the offensive surge of late, and what's the latest on his injury?
Yeah, really no update on the injury. Something happened there late in the fourth quarter there. He's obviously been playing great lately. We put him in a little bit, some different lineups early in the season. I think he's just getting back into form, which we know he was capable of. He's played really well. Obviously, the shooting numbers are, terrific from three this year, but it's him really controlling our team, pushing the pace, getting us organized. He's really played well lately.
Mm-hmm. You got Bilal back. How do you think he played last night?
Yeah, nice to have him back on the court. I thought he gave, you know, obviously he always gives us the defensive presence. But, you know, his size ability to get on the offensive boards, just give us some of that versatility and athleticism that he has. You know, obviously he's been kind of in and out with some of the injuries, but I thought he really had some positive impact on the game last night. But it's just nice to have him back on the court.
So the Hornets last night, they were basically daring him to shoot the three, and he complied, attempting 9 in the game. Does every player on the roster, do they have a green light if guys are just welcoming them to shoot the three without any sort of defensive resistance? What's that like for you?
Yeah, we definitely want our guys to be aggressive and confident. And specifically for our guys like Bilal, like, you know, they were doing some different coverages. Like, we want them to be aggressive, you know, and they were, you know, obviously they left them open in some situations. But, you know, he knocked down, I think, 3 for 9 last night. We want our guys to be confident when there's a shot to be open within our offense. You know, sometimes if it's a no pass or something that we don't feel like is in the flow of the game, we don't want guys to take those. But for the most part, when we think it's within the process of how we're playing, we want those guys to have a real aggressive attitude. And let that thing fly. We want him to be aggressive. He'll continue. And, like, he's just getting his rhythm. You know, he, like I said, he's kind of been in and out a little bit, but it was just nice to have him back. You could feel his presence on the court last night.
Coach, I'm not sure how much you watched Con Knipple in college. I mean, he was only there for 1 year, but and obviously he had Cooper on his team, so, you know, Cooper was the star. But did you think that Con Knipple would be this good? I watched him a lot at Duke. And he could shoot it, obviously. He's a great shooter. I just thought his athleticism would be an issue, but he's been really good. I did not think he would be this good, especially offensively, in a league full of great athletes and bigger guys.
He's obviously had a great early start to the year. You know, we've played them twice now. You know, been impressed with how he plays and how his game, but you know, with my surprise, I probably haven't overthought that one. Probably still focus more on our own team, but obviously he's turning himself into a good player here early in the season.
Kind of upsetting that LaMelo Ball, who shoots like 40% on the season, shoots like 58% against you guys last night. Like, that guy's, we saw him play last season at Capital One Arena.
He was about 4 for 30.
Like, he couldn't stop shooting and missing. Like, is that unnerving when a guy who usually isn't that selective with his shooting has basically a 60% night against you guys?
Sometimes that happens. You know, that's just sometimes things like that happen. You know, I thought some of his shots were contested. You know, some of them weren't. You know, that's where we can get better at. But that stuff's going to happen throughout the season, where some guys are going to make shots and stuff. You just keep moving forward.
All right, talk about Trey. 21 minutes, 12 points, 5 of 12, hit a couple threes. How do you think he went last night?
Yeah, I think he's, you know, like, he, you know, he was out for a little bit. I think that was his, maybe, I'm not exactly sure, fourth game back, maybe. You know, he's been good. You obviously can see his ability to shoot, his ability to score. I think he's getting better defensively. You know, he's just getting his rhythm back. You know, we're really lucky to have him. Like, he's shooting and close to 40 from three. That's pretty hard to do as a rookie. This guy's got immense work ethic, and it's just a matter of time. You know, he had 19 the game before. You know, we're really thrilled that he's back in the lineup, and he's picking the right spots. He's finding shots within the offense. Been really impressed since he's been back. Really pleased with how he's been playing.
Coach, how did some of the younger guys like Will Riley and Jameer Watkins, how do they react when they get less minutes when guys like Bilal and obviously Kispert come back into the lineup?
You know, those guys have been great. You know, they, at the beginning of the year, they weren't in the rotation as much, you know, because we're pretty deep at the wing position, and obviously we had some injuries. And those guys stepped right in. And when they were assigned from in the G League with the Go-Go, they had some good minutes, good reps against real-life competition. And when they stepped up with us, those guys were contributing. They were doing a lot of winning things. Hey, we want them to be disappointed. They want to play. They're competitors. But they were there supporting their teammates like I would expect them to do. That's who they are. And their time will come, as things always come around. And you know, that's how kind of the nature of the business, you know.
C.J. McCollum, I believe he's second on the team in minutes at 34 years old. He was getting right around that mid-30s to high 30 minutes per game. Talk about C.J. and what kind of a leader he is, man.
Yeah, it just shows you the professionalism that he has. Good example for our young guys in our roster, just how you take care of yourself, how you train, how you take care of your body. He's very meticulous with that. And not surprising, this guy's been doing this for a long time in his career, been super consistent with his game. There's no accident to that. The guys who do that are the ones who really have trained properly and have routines and structures that allow them to be consistent in the games. He's been great. He's such a stable person, consistent in his life. Just a great example for our team, and we're obviously very lucky to have him.
We're joined by Brian Keefe, Washington Wizards head coach. So give us the Keefe family blueprint for Christmas. Do you watch the NBA slate, or are you just like, you know what?
Get away from
it. I need to unplug for a day, spend some family time. How does it look for the Keefes on Christmas?
Fortunately and unfortunately over my years, I think I've played in, 14 or 15 Christmas games. So, like, it's an honor to be in those, but sometimes you're like, I'd just rather be home. So we'll probably not be tuning in too much tomorrow and just enjoy the family. So
right.
That's what we've got going on here.
And you play day after Christmas, correct?
Yeah, we play the day after, yeah.
So So you won't have a practice on Christmas Day?
Tomorrow we will have off. We're giving the guys off.
Good.
Need it.
All right.
Very good.
Be with your families. Enjoy. How about you guys? What do you guys got planned?
Hosting both brunch and dinner. It's going to be a busy cakes Christmas at the crib.
Yeah. And we have to get up at 4 a.m. the day after Christmas, so I'll be in bed by
8. You still got to do the show, huh? After? Man, they're making you guys work.
Yeah, you guys are working. Money. We're working.
Yeah, we're grinding it.
Yes.
All right, Coach. Appreciate the time. Best of luck coming out of the Christmas break, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Happy holidays, guys.
Yep.
All right, buddy.
Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. That is Brian Keefe, the head coach of your Washington Wizards. When we come back, we're going to talk about stadiums, not the Commanders' upcoming stadium specifically. The Chiefs are moving out of Arrowhead to a new dome stadium in 2031. Are you a fan of the trend of NFL teams moving from open air stadiums to domes? The Commanders are going to do it. The Chiefs are going to do it. We'll get into that next here on The Fan.
So on Saturday evening, amidst the NFL and the college football playoff, Maryland was playing Virginia in a throwback ACC game down in Charlottesville. Those that haven't been paying attention to college basketball, Virginia's good. They're ranked in the top 25. And I did have the game on one of the laptops that I had brought into the room because I wanted to see my Terps play. Wasn't paying attention to it enough. But the guy on the call on Saturday, right here on the Team 980, was Chris Knocke with Johnny Holiday. It looked like, honestly, one of the ugliest games, excuse me, that I've ever seen in terms of the turnovers and just, you know, two teams that looked like they had never played basketball before in the first half.
Yeah, you know, it was odd, Kevin. First of all, it's good to talk to you again.
You as well.
Strange game, you know. First half was the classic rock fight, as you said. It was awful. It was terrible. I think it was a five-point game at the break, and I think Maryland had five field goals at that point in time. But
right.
The second half was 56-53, Virginia. So it's weird. Shots started falling right at the onset of the second half, and it just kept on going three after three. That's the way Virginia plays. I don't know that's the way you want to play against them. But, you know, I thought Maryland, given the fact their best player is still out, Pharrell Payne, I thought they played pretty well in a, you know, kind of a difficult situation. And sort of a continuing thread from where they played against Michigan, where they actually played their best game of the season, but they lost to the best team in the country, I think. Is it progress? Is it ever progress when you lose? I guess those are questions for, you know, for another day, but I do think they're trending a little bit better, you know, a little bit in the right direction right now, more so than they were even 3 weeks ago.
First of all, Chris Knocke joins us on the show. Chris Knocke's daughter, Kelsey, who is an absolute professional success everywhere she goes, and was, you know, started at Maryland. She's been in various places. Is now what, the head of basketball operations for UVA?
Yeah. So it was. I guess it was one of those can't lose nights, right? But it did feel. You know, there are a couple of articles written about the Knocke Bowl going on on Saturday night. It certainly wasn't. You know, I'm not gonna personalize that. But she's done a great job. It's a nice program. She's working for great guys, and good for her. She's done well for herself.
She's great. So real quickly on the Buzz Williams Terp strategy of Bill Belichickian, you know, injury information. Is Pharrell Payne like badly hurt? Is he done for the year? Is he done for a few games? It seems like there's no injury information released by this iteration of Maryland basketball.
I that's a Buzz thing. It surprises me a little bit, but Buzz is a different breed of cat, as they say. And so I will give you good news that I think it's good news. All I can tell you is that I saw Pharrell walking around the hotel in Charlottesville. His leg was unencased, if I can use that. There was no brace. Sure. There was no, so I guess that's good news. I've heard a lot of Maryland folks clamor for, hey, maybe this is an opportunity to shut him down and bring him back next year when you get this really good freshman class coming in. But I don't think that's on anybody's mind in the basketball office at all. I think they want their best player back with the Big Ten season starting up here January 3rd against Oregon.
What do we think of our team here? Like, I think it's going to struggle. They obviously need Pharrell Payne. But then I look at how hard they tried in that game at UVA. And then the total aberration to me is the Michigan game. I mean, Michigan's been annihilating people by 40. They may be the best team college basketball seen since the UNLV teams of the early 90s. And Maryland had a 9-point lead in the second half with no Pharrell Payne after he got hurt in the first half with Diggy Coit going nuts. Like, I don't know what to make of it. You're there every day. For Terp fans, is this going to be one of those, you know, it took them November and December to figure it out, but they become a competitive team that wins games in January, February, and March, or not?
Yeah, I think that's the case, and I certainly hope it is. Let me back up just a second. I will tell you, we have been in the Big Ten now for, 11 years?
Yeah.
And this is our 11th season. Michigan this year is the best Big Ten team I've seen, and it's not even close. They're the Big Ten's best shot for a national champion in years. A prohibitive favorite, I think. But the Terps, I do.
Well,
think,
how did that happen, though, last Saturday night? You know, a week ago Saturday night. I mean, I was actually out of town, but I was watching it, and I'm like, how is this happening that they beat Gonzaga by 40, they beat Auburn by 30, they beat Nova by 30, and we're up, I think we're the only team to have a second-half lead against them this year?
Well, some of that, Kevin, is the sort of the falsehood of comparative scores. You know, if Gonzaga beats Maryland by 39, the next night Michigan beats Gonzaga by 40. So that's a 79-point delta there. So you think Maryland has absolutely no chance. But those games were played in a really sterile environment in Las Vegas. You get a game at Xfinity. I think the crowd was all sorts of fired up, not just the quality of the opponent. National TV, it's just a different animal. And there's a lot of pride that these guys are playing with. I think one of the things that they've struggled with is the, availability of some of these guys. And I'm not making excuses, but, like, if you don't have Pharrell Payne against Virginia's size, right, you're going to get what you got. You got a 38-8 delta in the points in the paint. 38-8. And yet, that game was a 3-point game with a handful of minutes to play. So they're doing a lot of things right. You mentioned the grit that they play with, and I think that one common thread between the Michigan and UVA game is we've sort of seen the trademark grit and relentlessness that Buzz's teams generally are known for. That's sort of his calling card. Dusty May, after the game Michigan's coach, after the game said that, he one of the things he said about Maryland's rebounding, he said it was like Braveheart, how hard they went after. He said it was futile, as in, feudal era, not futile. Yeah. But I think that's one of the things we've seen, and hopefully that's one of the things that's being developed. And, when you do get a run of home games here and you open up the Big Ten in January, you know, with a couple of home games, you got to take advantage of those. And that's certainly a good way to turn your season right side up after going 0-2 to start. But to be fair, too, those are two really difficult games to start the Big Ten season off. You know, at Iowa,
yeah,
and at home against the team that's number one, at least metrically speaking, by far, Michigan has the best analytics, best metrics in the NCAA.
Sunday in College Park, they play Old Dominion at home before they get into the Big Ten schedule, which includes back-to-back games against Oregon and Indiana. There are tickets this year for Maryland games, people. So if you want a, you know, a really good environment for a sporting event, you can get into Xfinity this year and see Oregon, Indiana in early January. They've got later season games against Purdue, who's been ranked number one in the season. Illinois later in the season. They've already played Michigan, and as Naki said, they're the best team that he has seen since Maryland's been in the Big Ten. So I think for me, the effort, the whole thing, you know, muddying up games, we've seen that with Buzz's teams at Texas A&M, at Virginia Tech, at Marquette. So there's going to be an element to that. Who can you count on other than Pharrell Payne, you know, in the paint to score points for them every night?
Therein lies the rub. And I would have thought that the guards would be playing better than they actually have. You know, we've seen flashes. Oh, you mentioned Diggy, Coit, you know, and he's had a couple of monster games. And he just continues to hit shot after shot. But, you know, with that comes the obvious defensive liability of having a 5'8 guard. Virginia clearly went after him on Virginia's offensive end all night long. And, you know, they had their point guard had a career, or not a career high, season high in that game, the BYU transfer. So, so you're always going to be a little limited from that perspective. But I think it's incumbent on the other guys to not only step up, but to play to a certain standard. They've got guys who I think can play. Watts, certainly Miles Rice played at Indiana last year as a captain of that team, and he's had some good stretches and some good games, but they just have not been able to sustain much in that backcourt at all. And it's a conference full of good players. Every team's got guys like that. So it's really incumbent upon them to be better. I think the quality play has to be better.
Talking to Chris Naki. So I didn't give you a heads up on this, but I want to ask you about it because you and I have talked about it on the show before, I think on the podcast a while back. By the way, Merry Christmas to you here on the 23rd, to you and the family. I want you, if you don't mind, just to tell everybody about your dad.
Oh, jeez.
It's such fascinating story. And you'll do it much more justice than me. Give us 5 minutes on Chris Naki's father.
First of all, I'll never claim objectivity. I'm the son of one of the great overachievers that I've ever known in my life. Fortunate enough to have him for as long as I did, but he's a guy who was, you know, a very gifted athlete. He played basketball and baseball in college. He was the leading scorer in the old Big Eight Conference at the University of Colorado. He was, back before there was a whole lot of record-keeping, he was the number one pick of the NBA draft, drafted by a team that folded a couple months later, the Pittsburgh Ironmen.
Yeah.
And so his rights were sold to the Knicks. He and my grandfather, his father, went in there and tried to negotiate a contract for a whopping, I think it was $2,500 or something like that. And the Knicks said, no, too much money. And so he decided he'd had an opportunity. So when he was in college, he was in Naval Intelligence School, and he spoke Russian and a couple different dialects of Chinese fluently, which is another ridiculous bark. You know, I mean, who does that? And so he was in the Naval Intelligence School at the time. There were sort of, here in D.C., there were grumblings of starting up a new agency. It was the old OSS that became the CIA. So he got in on the ended up, you know, he decided he was going to go to Georgetown Law School and came to D.C. to do that. And then he joined the CIA instead of, he decided he wanted to, you know, had enough of school with all the intelligence classes that he'd taken. So he was obviously attractive to the CIA because he spoke multiple languages. He got on the ground floor. He was a lifer there, worked for 27 or 28 years, and it ended up culminating in him being George Bush's deputy director of the CIA. He was an appointee of Gerald Ford's. So he ran the agency on a day-to-day basis for Bush while Bush was, you know, doing the George Bush things. And so he ran the agency. Bush ended up resigning when Jimmy Carter got elected. My dad was the, you know, director of the CIA for a time. And then there were a couple different stories that led to, you know, he ended up out of the CIA and he worked for Boeing for a time in Seattle. But yeah, I mean, he's been, you know, he was in the Kennedy White House during the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Right. I remember you telling me that your father was one of the people initially that briefed Kennedy about the Cuban missiles.
One of his compatriots, they were working, I forget what the acronym was, but it was the service within the agency that analyzed all the pictures taken by the U-2 spy planes. So they saw the pics of the missiles in Cuba, and it was pretty clear. And my dad was always quick to give credit to the other guy he was working with, who had a lot more experience in the field. But they went to, brief Kennedy. They were in the White House all during those days. He described the bedlam of the whole thing, and there was a general there, one of the guys in the Joint Chiefs that wanted to just bomb the crap out of Cuba. You know, just was adamant about we have to destroy this country. And Kennedy was a much cooler head, obviously, and you know, you saw how that prevailed, or how that side prevailed. But in the ensuing years after that, you know, one of his jobs, he would go brief ex-presidents. So, for instance, when, you know, in the mid-60s, when those guys were still alive, he would go to Independence, Kansas, and brief Harry Truman?
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, and he would go and brief Eisenhower on, you know, covert, because that's part of the protocol. Ex-presidents always get briefed on what's going on and things like that. So he got a chance to spend time with those guys. And his stories of dealing with these guys and of dealing with, you know, some of the guys that he absolutely loved and some that he loathed, you know. He was not a big Henry Kissinger guy at all. But you know, just kind of interesting. Sort of a Forrest Gumpian, you know, came in contact with absolutely everybody who was of import during his time, you know. And there's a lot more to it, you know, but in a nutshell, you know, it's hard to live. The bar is set pretty high
in
the Naki family, you know.
Henry Naki, Chris's dad. I want to ask you, though, because, you know, we live in an area, and as a Washingtonian and a native Washingtonian, those that are, you know, you grow up and you know people whose, you know, fathers, parents are CIA, but it's really not spoken of. So two things. One, when did you realize that your father was in the CIA? And two, specific to the Cuban Missile Crisis, you were old enough to remember the fear of the time. Is there anything about the way your father came home and talked about the dire, you know, situation that it was that you remember?
No, I was a little, you know, I was probably six at the time.
Okay.
I was a little bit too young. But my older brothers talk about that. They also talk about, you know, I was too young the day Kennedy got assassinated, that, you know, he went and picked them up from school, you know, immediately just to kind of bring them home and walk through what was going on the television, what was playing out on TV at the time. I don't really remember much about
you
that.
You had four brothers, correct?
Yes. Older brothers, correct.
Right.
Yeah. And later on, it's funny, I had a guy call me out of the blue. This was probably in the mid-90s, called me on, I can tell you, it was on a landline, that's how long ago it was, but he called me and he said, you know, you don't know me, but I'm one of the foremost authors on the Kennedy assassination, and I have it on good authority your dad was on the ground in Dallas that day. And I just kind of chuckled. Everybody's got an opinion, right? And I just said, well, somehow he magically picked my older brothers up from school that afternoon. So, maybe he wasn't. But, all that stuff. And so I remember telling my dad, I don't know, Kevin, and I, one of the greatest movies I've ever seen, just from an entertainment perspective, was JFK, the movie Oliver Stone.
Yeah.
And so I remember early 90s, I was talking to my dad, and he was kind of saying, well, what'd you do last night? And I said, well, I went out to this movie. And he said, what'd you see? And I said, JFK. And he just exploded.
Oh, boy.
He was like, that movie is such bull, fill in the blank. And he said, I knew all those guys. The guy who played the Kevin Costner played Jim. It escaped me now.
Garrison.
Garrison. He said, complete crackpot, complete and total crackpot. And he said it may have been compelling movie making, but there were absolutely no truths taken, for that. And so, that was kind of interesting to me. A very visceral reaction from a guy who didn't offer much in the way of visceral reactions.
But did you know, as a kid, did your brothers know what your father did for a living, or was he just working for the naval, department?
Yeah, he was working for the government. Time he filled out any emergency care information, just said government executive. Yeah. Now, when he became a presidential appointee, I mean, obviously, when I was a teenager, I knew what he did.
Sure.
And then he became a presidential appointee, so we used to kind of chuckle about it. And then, that comes with a presidential appointee that comes with a scramble phone and bars on your windows and doors, at home and stuff like that. A lot of extra security and guys in plain clothes and unmarked cars picking them up and dropping them off every day. So that was,
and it's not because he was drafted number one overall by the Pittsburgh Ironmen. That's not the reason. He and your grandfather negotiated a deal worth, what'd you say, $2,500?
$2,500. How quaint is that? Thinking about that. So.
Hell of a life. Yeah, we've talked about it before, but some of the things, like you said, it's very Forrest Gumpian. He was just around at certain times with the world's biggest figures during the world's biggest crises. And in fact, tell me if this is true too, because I think I remember you telling me this. Didn't your father go to China with Nixon or not?
He did. Kevin, he went everywhere, and he went under, he had a bunch of different passports and a bunch of different, fake names that he would travel under. But yeah, he was in China. He spent a lot of time in the Far East. He was in Vietnam a bunch, back when the war was going on. He would say, I'm going to be away for a couple of weeks. Where are you going? Well, I'm going to London. And then you'd get a call. Obviously, there weren't any, phone calling anybody was problematic in 1970 or 68 or whatever. So you'd get a call 10 or 12 days later, say, where are you? And, he'd say, well, I'm in Cyprus. Like that. So he just basically, and looking back too, I never really thought about how unsettling it must have been for my mom. Not only the fact that she had to parent five kids, but she had no idea where he was. And he was never disclosing any, he didn't give up anything to the day he died. He was, he was pretty true to the creed and to the, to the pledge that those guys have to take.
Well, he wasn't in the garden playing the Knicks, that's for sure. What a life. I mean, Chris Nockey's father's life is truly amazing. I mean, you can Google it and read a lot about Henry Nockey. Thanks for that. Appreciate it. Merry Christmas.
All right, thanks, Kevin. I appreciate it. Thanks for letting me spill it. I hadn't talked about it in a long time, and still it makes me proud. It also makes me sad. I wish you were still around. But, for anybody who's got a dad out there and you got Christmas looking at you, make sure you appreciate the opportunity that you have this Christmas. It's a special thing.
Yeah, great advice. Talk soon. Appreciate it.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
Chris Nockey, everybody. Up next, we'll go NFL with Mike Jones from The Athletic.
All righty, folks.
Low.
Christmas
let
time.
Snow, let it
2 days till the big man starts sliding down some chimneys. Helping us make sense of life and the pursuit of good football is our dear friend, Mr. Rick Doc Walker, joining us now via the Rude Guest Hotline. What's up, Doc?
How are you? Rick?
Gentlemen. Hello, Brian.
How you doing, man?
All ears. It's all good, man. This time of the year, it overshadows no matter what happens on or off the field. And it's good to acknowledge that. And I'd like to join you guys with giving love to Tress Way. It reminded me of 1981. The first Pro Bowler with Joe Gibbs was Mike Nelms. So special teams is always the tip of the spear. And mm-hmm. So that's a good sign that we're headed in the right direction.
Well said there. I imagine he's a guy you know. I imagine you're pretty happy for Tress to make his third Pro Bowl at, 35 years old is pretty cool.
Well, hey, winning teams have great specialists.
Yep. When I said Tress is normal, you've been around a lot of kickers and punters.
Yep.
Am I wrong for saying he's probably the most normal person you ever seen?
Yeah, I smile with it because, Mosley, to me, but again, real championship teams, it's in the blueprint. You have unusual individuals who dominate on teams, teams that take it serious. So, we talk about quarterback and we talk left tackle, we talk cornerback. And edge rusher, those are my top four. But then the fifth one is an all-star special teams player. He might be covering the kick. He may be like Reggie Branch busting up wedges. Might be like Otis Wansley, who's the best I ever played with. But you got to have him. And if you don't have him, you usually don't win.
Absolutely. Unfortunately for this team, truly, I think if you had to break down – of the three phases, the coverage unit, both on punts and kickoffs, and the return units have been by far the best groups they've got.
Yeah. Yes.
By far.
Yes.
And, unfortunately, they haven't played complementary football, so even the good field position that created on both sides of that stuff hasn't really helped. Doc, where are you on the quarterback saga here?
Well, I'm not as much involved in it in terms of a saga. I don't like the fact that we're making excuses for any of them not to be prepared. If you have a guy on your team, that's your decision you made. They ought to be able to play. It's Pro Bowl. But I realize the position itself is suffering. If you only have 12 guys you'd fight for. But that's their job. If the third team guy comes in and can't play, you chose him. You kept him. You're training them. So it's an indictment upon your staff. Anybody that's not prepared, that's on you. This didn't sneak up on you. You've had all the options in the world to get it done. Either you don't select the right people or you don't have the ability to help people get better once they get on your team.
Doc, we were talking earlier about this rivalry of Cowboys against Washington. And I know when I got here, nobody had to tell me anything because – I can feel it from the guys that were in the locker room to guys like you that were outside the locker room. Hell, when you walked to the 7-Eleven, people were letting you know. How is this rivalry now when it comes to what you see? Because I know it's in you, but what do you see? You see anybody really caring about it like they used to?
Not to the level. But then again, it depends on the fan base because we're fractured. We have people that enjoy the game but don't care who wins or loses. That's new for me. That's just generational. In 20 years, everybody may be that way because they have an investment in it and they get different rewards from it. The moment that it's not winner take all, I'm out. Mm-hmm. But that means that I'm out. It doesn't mean the system's going to change because the popularity of the league is sky high. It's rocketed.
Yeah.
But they've added a lot of different components to it that you know, not my cup of tea. But it's not going to change back to the old way. It never does. But I guarantee you the team that wins it all will be sound on teams. They'll be able to run the ball, and they'll have big play abilities. I don't think that's ever, ever going to change. You can make up all the excuses you want to, but I don't think you're going to be able to trick your way to a Lombardi trophy.
What do you think of the Christmas Day game? Did you ever play on Christmas?
I don't remember. I remember the Thanksgiving, but it gets blurred because when you're covering it, you're there, and it kind of blends into you as you age. You can't remember what you did because you know you were there, but it doesn't mean you were playing. You could have been there like J.P. Finley working.
That's true. Doc, one of the biggest question marks, I would say, or things you'd like to see go differently. I know the way you watch the game, and I know you played the position at a really high level, and I know that there's a lot more to playing tight end than just targets and receptions.
Yeah.
What have you thought of Sennett this year and kind of the opportunities he's gotten?
I can only judge him from practice because he didn't get in the game. They don't put him in the games. But he's not alone. They got a witness protection program over there on their own. And I'm not around it enough to know it. B. Mitch would have to let us in on that. But they make you think they don't practice well. But when I've seen them, they've all looked the same. So I have no idea. I don't know why they don't believe in complementary football, and I don't know why they don't play their young. But I understand what you're saying. Don't have an answer for you.
Yeah, like, this is what I can tell you. Like, I know what I've heard people say about Sennett. Mm-hmm. And I've always felt like this. Nobody has to let me play.
Right.
Nobody has to just put me in. If I'm going to get in, I'm going to force my way in.
Yeah.
And that's the way I've seen football since I was in Little League. Now, I grew up with J.B. Banks back in Plaquemine when I was playing for the Plaquemine Saints. From that moment I started playing football, nobody ever gave anybody anything. You had to earn it. And a lot of times when I hear people, you know, I've been in this town a long time now, and I hear people praising those before they even get on the field because they like them.
Yeah.
So I'm like, if I've always felt like this, if a guy's not playing, he ain't forcing himself on the field. That's just how I see it. You know, I don't think they're not playing guys because they don't want to play them. They want to play you. But if you're not forcing your way on the field, then that's on you. No matter who it is. And like sometimes some guys can do it in a year, in half a year. Some guys take 2, 3, 4 years to get it done.
Yeah.
And if a team is willing to wait around that, because normally they don't wait that long, but when you get drafted, they'll wait a little bit on you.
Well, the higher you picked, the more leeway you have. I get that. But I haven't seen anything he does that's demonstrably bad. He's gotten a lot more aggressive at the line of scrimmage. All their guys give you effort. So the scary part is that if the effort is there, then his scheme, his technique, his attitudes, all the other things you can put into it. But why are we dissecting this? That's what they have a staff for. All we're supposed to do is comment on the results. It either happened or it didn't happen. The higher you pick, the more scrutiny. But half this town is begging for us to lose so they can get higher picks. And I'm going, okay, you think that automatically guarantees you different results? I don't.
That's that new age mindset.
How much does that drive you crazy, Doc, when folks are just talking about the draft pick?
No, it doesn't drive me crazy. I get it, and I'm not saying they're wrong. I can only go by my experiences. And, Brian, we lived in the same house for a minute. If the guy in charge doesn't go home when we had problems, he slept there. We know how he worked us because everybody hated it but understood that's the only way out. So that's all I know. I don't understand why the most successful person in the organization is not being mimicked. We're supposed to be a copycat society, right? Don't think so. We do what we're comfortable doing, not what needs to be done. You're either in or you're out. And obviously, that's old school. I love it when people say, it's old school. No, it's winning. you don't like to win. You don't know how to win. You talk a good game, but your results are evident. So what are you going to do about it? That's all I'm saying. What are you going to do about it?
Talking with our friend Rick Doc Walker here on the Rude Guest Hotline. You can give Doc a follow at Rick Doc Walker. What will your Christmas be like? Do you have Netflix? You going to lock in and watch this thing?
If I'm not there, because you know, doing post game, I got to be in position. I know you guys are off once the game ends. See,
no, we're not. Who are you talking to? No.
I got a live.
I don't know who you talking to.
I got a live television show at 6:30 on Christmas.
He might be talking about everybody else. I know he's not talking about either one of us. Because this dude right here.
Why'd you ask the question? You know damn well you working all day. You doing something all day and half the night. I'm not mad they're not in prime time. I hate them in prime time because it means you get home at 4 a.m., 3 a.m. Yeah. Yeah. I'll do it if it's worth it. But if you're going to stick up the joint, put you on at 1. That's what you deserve.
The Netflix thing is going to be interesting. Do we know? Is it broadcast locally? Like, or one of the local stations airing it also?
I don't have a clue.
I don't know. I know they do the NBA. They do a fine job. I'm impressed. It's been fun. It's been fun. When I saw Phillip Rivers, I just started thinking, you know how we joke with B. Mitch. We put B. Mitch in any category. Notice how we always say, oh, he could do it. He could do it. Don't think that when I saw Phillip Rivers out there, that the first thought came.
But you know what, though, I watched him last night, and I was thoroughly impressed. And I think any young person watching football, what I saw last night is a guy that not only knew what they were trying to do, he knew every damn thing San Francisco was trying to do to him. And I'll be real. He got a little – San Francisco adjusted some things. He hadn't been playing football a long time this year.
5 years.
So as that game went on, he got a little slower. And his offensive line, they couldn't dissect what they were doing. But early in that game, he was telling them what the defense was in, who to watch, where to line up. This man called out – whoever was the offensive coordinator this week, that money should go to Phillip Rivers because he dissected everything. And if you are a guy playing football and you only know what you're trying to do and not know what the other people on the other side are trying to do to you, and hell, don't know what you have been giving off to them, you shouldn't be in the league, man. They got to figure out a way to be as in-depth and as thorough as he was.
You saw what I saw. How in the hell can multimillionaires allow that man to be coaching high school?
I don't get it.
When you in last place. And that's why I say, but we all know, because that's what happens when you don't really have to win. It's not life or death. It's really not life or death for any of us. It's fun. You chase it any kind of way you want to, but you're pulling for the home team. And because we've won before and we know what it looks like, what it tastes like, we'd like it again. There's nothing wrong with that. But hey, man, they built the game up in a way. I remember when it was $500 a week in training camp. It's $500 a minute now. So you can't hate. You got to adjust with the times. But I don't have to enjoy it, and I don't.
It's a it's an interesting season, man. Last night, you know how, like, just pictures and stuff pop up on your phone all the time? Mm-hmm. Last night I had a year ago yesterday. So 366 days ago was the comeback win over the Eagles at home. And the video popped up on my phone. It is remarkable. And injuries are a huge factor of it. But just how much everything has gone sideways this year.
But what it shows you, nothing is guaranteed. You got to always be working as hard as you were the previous year and adjusting things as you need to try to stay a little bit above or ahead of somebody else.
Well, dude, you know what else I was thinking about? And I'm curious where you guys land on this. Like, eventually, usually a week or two after the season, Josh Harris, Adam Peters, and Dan Quinn are going to have a press conference.
Yeah.
That's what normally happens. For a long time, the owner wasn't involved in these. Now we have normal ownership. I expect Harris to be there. And I really respect DQ and AP. But whether it's me or somebody else, somebody has to ask the owner the question, how do you remain confident in these two to fix this?
Mm-hmm.
Because last year, we were all popping champagne. Everything was cool.
Yeah.
This year, it went sideways. So, ownership, what is your confidence level in these dudes turning this thing around? And
that's a fair question.
Right.
It's a fair question. And listen, I've been around this stuff a long time. I try my best to not just be involved with just the football player. I want to know every level. And I believe that it's going to be some aspect of what they saw last year, because they saw how quickly it did it. And then they're going to understand the moves that were made this year, that you got to change that up a little bit. I've said over and over, Doc, where I felt that they got just like the fans were. They wanted to go because they were close last year. And you tried to go for it, and it was a mistake. It wasn't as smooth as you thought it was going to be. You didn't get the right people coming around. But you still knew you were building for something. But I had no problem with them going chase for it. Now that it's messed up, you better get back to that rebuilding.
And we got off the hook. Suppose you didn't have someone as competent as Mariota.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how ugly this could have been?
Yeah.
I mean, you're lucky, even though a lot of people don't realize how fortunate they are to have him, they don't study the league. Most of the league is pathetic. This dude, you can win with him. At least you can win with him. But you keep running around the bushes. Until you get on the same page with how you win games, nothing will change. They don't believe in complementary football. So, if you don't have Myles Garrett types on your defense, then you're fighting yourself. You don't believe in ball control. You're not going to run the ball until you feel like you have to, not because you want to or need to. Then who's the personality of your team? Who shapes that? And if I zip your lips and you can't talk, now what?
Doc, going into this offseason, what do you think is their biggest need? Pass rush?
Well, there's the four positions. Quarterback, left tackle, edge, and corner. What do you lack? Yeah. What have you got? You can say you got two of the four, three of whatever you say. I'll take you if you think 50-50. You have to get somebody that can attack and influence the opposition's quarterback.
Yeah.
You put too much pressure on your corners. So either you got to do, and I believe the quickest remedy is pressure as opposed to getting a talent. What if the talent gets a hamstring? Now you're stuck back to it. Is somebody going to admit that you've missed? Everybody misses. But this many? Is that just okay? Or would a coach been able to get more out of the people that you have that are in remission right now? Somebody's got to ask the question. Okay, what do we do now? You picked him. He doesn't appear to be able to play, but maybe he can. So is it his level is low or your staff's inability to connect with him? It's got to be one or the other.
Interesting times for the Burgundy and Gold. Doc, if I don't see you, man, have a very Merry Christmas and hope we get to catch up soon.
No. You guys are off. I'll be in mopping the floors.
We're not off, Doc. We're working every day.
I'm working Friday. Are you going to be in on Friday?
Is it a work day? Yeah. Hey, have you ever been to work and the custodian has not been in to clean the place up?
I haven't seen you sweep nothing, Doc.
What are you talking about? That office, you've got to be kidding me.
No,
I personally clean yours first.
Whatever.
Yeah, the custodian is always there. You guys enjoy your holiday.
All right, man. See you, Doc. Take care. All
right. Appreciate you. The one and only.
That boy is crazy. What he is.
Doc Walker. Let's ask a simple question. Can the Commanders actually win on Christmas? Nobody go anywhere. It's B. Mitch and Finley.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.